Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
Anyway, that fight led her to challenge me to see a therapist, which I said, fair enough, I'll do. Okay. But I also challenge you to see a therapist because, in my mind, she was the one with all the issues, right? And in her mind, I was the one with all the issues. And mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I learned is that, you know, we have to take ownership of our own issues. And typically speaking, we both have some issues, you know, nobody's perfect per se. And so we have to look at ourselves. How are we showing up in this relationship that could be causing some problems? And usually, again, it is both sides, but I have to take ownership of my side first. And so that's the first thing I learned is, you know, be willing to take a look at yourself and see where you're going wrong and see if you can make a difference.
Welcome to the Bond Life Podcast, where fitness, mindset, and real talk collide. This isn't just about workouts. It's about transforming your body, mind, and life. Get ready for unfiltered conversations, expert advice, and the motivation you need to level up in every way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a good episode. It's really, really good. We're diving into relationships and attachment styles and pain and learning and growth. It's a real good conversation with Brian Power, and he's here to share his story, his journey, and his insight of everything that he's gone through. But I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be insightful for you guys. And I'm always looking for episodes and topics that like connect with my listeners. And I know, like, duh, isn't everyone looking for episodes that connect with their listeners, but like really connect. Like, some of you have written into the show and you have talked about really tough relationship stuff, things that you're stuck, where you're stuck with your health and your fitness, where you're stuck with starting over, narcissist, domestic violence. Like, ever since I have opened up about a lot of things, you guys have too, and I love it. It's meant the world to me, and I'm here to help. And that's why I wanted to do today's episode with Brian, who's been through a lot, and he is brave enough and willing to share his story on the podcast with us and just have a good conversation around it all, you know, because I know so many of you can relate. I know so many of you either are there now or have adult children in a bad situation. You've been there. You're on your healing journey. You're figuring out how to get out. And I say this in the episode too, but I really wanted to just kind of reiterate that your relationship and the people that you surround yourself with directly impact your health and fitness journey. Like, I can't tell you how many clients that I have that are coaching. Yes, it's about food and working out and, you know, reps and sets and form and technique and water and hydration and macros. Yeah, all of that is like super important. However, so much of our coaching calls revolve around their relationships. Are they happy? Are they healthy? What's their sex life like? What's their energy like for that? Do they have drive and libido? Are they constantly fighting? Are they holding resentment? Because when you have those issues going on and resentment is building towards your significant other or someone close to you in your life, that affects your self-worth and your self-love. And if you're struggling with that with them, like, no wonder people go, nah, I'm not going to make it to the gym today, or I'm not going to do 4 more, because deep down subconsciously, you don't feel and see your worth. And if you don't feel and see your worth, it will impact how you show up and how you choose you and the foods that you choose and the alcohol that you drink or don't drink. Like, it's so closely related. I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's very difficult to really improve your life and get the body that you want. Build the muscle and the energy and balance your hormones if your relationship is shit and it's in the dumps. I'm, again, not saying it's impossible, because I know there's a lot of people in here probably listening and going, that's not true. I lost 30 pounds and my relationship is a, you know, disaster, and I did it for me and I'm divorcing him now, or I did it and he is still 50 pounds overweight, but I changed me. Great. I love it. Again, it's not impossible. However, it is tough. And I'm up to my eyeballs with clients in this stuff every day. Every day I'm doing coaching calls with my clients, and the relationship and the conversation and the communication, it is a daily topic that we're tackling and that we're addressing to help them move forward in their health and fitness. So this is why I have conversations like this with people like Brian. This is why we tackle these topics. I want to constantly be in your ear about all the things and feeling great and moving and all that, but then also be in your ear about your relationship and how to change. Are you listening to defend yourself? Or are you listening to hear? What is your attachment style? What childhood issues and trauma do you have that is still coming up? And maybe you heard me talk about that, 10 episodes ago, and then you haven't really thought about it since. And now I'm bringing it up again, and I'm in your ear and I'm helping you. So that's why we have these conversations. Brian and his wife, they would have gone from having pretty good relationship to a complete relationship failure. And that culminated with a restraining order his wife would put against him for emotional safety. Yeah, crazy, right? And during their time apart, Brian and his wife would work on themselves, and that work would ultimately allow them to put their relationship back together. And now Brian shares his inspirational story and teaches others how to use the Integrated Attachment Theory program that helps save his marriage and provides the necessary tools to continue having a healthy, happy relationship today. So it's another great story, just kind of insight on this, something to improve your healing journey. I love it. I love all of it. So again, thanks for listening, guys. I didn't even say that in my beginning. If you're brand new, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. I didn't even get to say my cheesy little welcomes there. And if you're looking to really make some changes and this speaks to you, and you've probably been listening to me for a while and you're like, God, I really should do one-on-one coaching, click the link in the bio in the show notes. Or in my bio, if you go to my Instagram, click the link, book a discovery call with me. Let's get on the phone or Zoom or whatever you want to do. And let's see, what are you working towards? What are you after? How can I help you go after it? How can I help you achieve that and not put you off anymore? And let's tackle it. All right, everyone, enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. Today, we have Brian Powers on, or Brian Power, not Powers, Brian Power.
That's right. Brian with a Y and Power with no S. So
no S. Brian Power, Mr. Power. I'm so excited to have you on because we get to dive into, honestly, this is one of my favorite topics to cover, relationships.
Yeah.
I love it because I don't think people realize, too, how much your relationship is directly impacting, influences, affects your health and fitness journey.
Yeah, 100%.
If you are in an environment that doesn't support you, love you, if you're constantly fighting, if there is tension, if that flow isn't there, I can't tell you, Brian, how many times I have seen that hold, specifically women, hold them back from moving forward because they're afraid to change. Will my husband still love me? If I move forward and he doesn't move forward, then they carry that guilt and that shame, and or they get better. And then there's tension at home, why are you going to the gym? Who are you going to the gym for? And it just, there's so much connection between your environment, your relationship, and you succeeding and failing your goals, whether or not you're going to do all the way, or if you're going to set back and get stuck back in the cycle of starting and stopping.
Yeah, no, I love it. 100%. Something that I definitely learned through all this is how the subconscious plays out, how our relationships are so affecting everything in our life, the way our bodies hold on to tension, and it really changes everything. So I hope that we can help people not only have great relationships today, but also motivate them and get them going in the right direction to get their bodies in shape too. I spent 18 years in the fitness industry as well. I know what it's like to be out there trying to hustle and get people in shape physically, and now I'm trying to get people in shape mentally as well. So trying to really kind of do that 1-2 combo. So I'm excited to be here with you today, Melissa.
I love that because it's so important. If you just do the physical journey, you are going to hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. You have to do the mental transformation with the physical at the same time. And Brian, it's crazy how many trainers and instructors and coaches out there aren't doing this.
Yeah. No, I used to always say you have to get your mind right first and then the body will follow.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So get your mind right first and then the body will really follow. And you get to that point where you just want to naturally get in shape and feel good about getting in shape and be excited about it. Start seeing the results. That gets exciting. So it all just works synergistic,
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I do believe it starts with the mind.
It does. And I think a lot of I think I said this on last week's episode with Wendy, but like a lot of, you don't hear a lot of coaches talking about it and trainers because they haven't had the quote, I'm using air quotes, failure in their relationship or their lives and then rebuilt and learned and grew from it. Like so many of them are probably like still stuck in that area. Yeah. They haven't done the growth to be able to help their clients grow and change.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of guys just come out. They got the knowledge as far as how to train a guy, maybe in the gym and certain modalities and this and that. But at the end of the day, being a really great trainer is not just knowing the dynamics of the weights and everything else. You really have to connect with your clients. You really have to know how to connect with them and really kind of motivate them in a way that works for them and really just have that relationship. I always found that, when I was in that business, it was all about the relationship with my clients, not just, hey, come in and do this, do that, do this, do that. Because a lot of times, if it's that way, it ends pretty quick. Those clients typically sometimes they just stick around long enough. But once you build a relationship with your coach, you trust them, you see that they're on your page, they love you, they care about you, and they want you to get those results for you. Now you're excited to be, working with that coach and it just makes it a better experience for everybody for sure. So,
right. Well, and you're a coach, you're an integrated attachment theory coach. So you can probably relate that and this same field of like you've been through some shit, like you can relate and now you can help others and coach them through it so they have the best relationship ever, like because of your past.
Absolutely. I went through a crazy experience in 2024, learned a lot of things about relationships and how they actually work. And, before then I really struggled my entire adult life, trying to figure that part out because I came from a very, dysfunctional childhood, if you will. And those wounds were carrying into my adult life and into different relationships. And, even though on the outside, sometimes I was able to kind of hit the gym, that was always something for me was to keep my body in shape. So for me, it just came naturally. Mm-hmm. But I think for me inside, the brain wasn't as in shape as it should have been. So on the outside, I looked pretty good, but inside I was kind of, dealing with a lot of issues there that really kind of destroyed my life, if you will, in a certain way. Not destroyed it, I hate to say that, but made it more difficult, made it more challenging than it should have been because of the wounds that I was carrying into my adult life. I learned a lot in 2024 and I've changed a lot of things. And now I'm having a really great relationship with my wife today, one that I never dreamed could be this good. So it's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah. People don't realize like how much this comes up in my coaching all the time of how much like the younger version of you, how much inner child healing plays a role in it too. And how important that is to face that stuff. And so many people are like, what's the point? What's the point of dredging that up and then making me feel bad again? Like I've moved on and they don't see how it's still coming up. And the younger version of them like gets into the driver's seat of their car or their bus and is like in control. And then because of that, that's what's really triggering them inside to make them stay and feel and act a certain way. I'm curious about your past. Like, what was it that you can identify now about your childhood that was not addressed, that was completely impacting like your life?
Yeah. So I came from, my mom was 21 years old in 1969. With two boys, and my father battled addiction. And so they were divorced pretty much when I was born. So, and then my mom moved around a lot when we were young. So the first 10 years of my life was really filled with a lot of chaos, a lot of turmoil, really very little stability. And that would really shape a lot of my own thoughts, behaviors, a lot of fears that came in my life.
Sure.
I have a really big fear of abandonment. And that, I learned that from my father. My father would come in and out of my childhood a lot, right? And so he would be in my life a little bit and then he'd be gone for a while and then he'd be back. And that ultimately really shaped a big fear of abandonment for me. And so I was taking these wounds into my adult life, into relationships and subconsciously, behaving in ways that I didn't even realize I was doing until again, really 2024, when I became a lot more aware of it. I knew there were issues, but I didn't know really how to fix them. I didn't really understand them completely. But I think, last year it really became more clear what those were and then really began a program that I think began to heal that and actually move the needle, because you can say you're healed. You can say you moved on from it. But the truth is, if you haven't done the work to heal the subconscious, you are still carrying that baggage and you are acting out in ways that you don't even realize you're doing that are causing you to fail in different areas of your life. One of them can absolutely be your relationships.
Yeah. Did you find yourself growing up as a child showing symptoms of ADD or ADHD?
Oh, probably back in my day, we didn't have those.
Right.
So we didn't have those terms.
Right. But,
as a child, always hard to, find focus. And sometimes, in that regard, for sure.
I'm learning so much more now about how much kids, now we can see, and that's labels just thrown out everywhere all the time. But a kid that is truly ADHD and is anxious, if you look back, there is definitely some trauma and anxiety in their childhood. And it's crazy how we can link the two now instead of this child is just naughty and they're hyperactive. It's no, what's going on that was creating that ADHD then? So I was just curious if you could like identify that now as an adult of like,
yeah, for sure.
It was like what linked it up.
Yeah, there was a lot of trauma in my life. And so, yeah, no doubt. I think there's an absolute factor in that. The child, you know, the home, the safety there, you know, the environment that's being created can absolutely make a huge difference. And well, kids just get it to that point where they're looking for, they get bored, right? You know, sometimes a kid gets bored, they lose focus. And if their emotions are all over the place and they don't know how to control those things, it can be very tumultuous and very hard for a child to understand kind of handle that, how to handle that. And so they definitely drift off into different worlds and they lose focus and they don't really understand how to kind of, you know, prioritize and really kind of relax emotionally and everything else. So it becomes a disaster for sure. I think that's a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we like slap a label on it and give it medication instead of looking at the environment and the relationships. And like, honestly, as parents, like taking a look at like, what did I do to make my child feel, or you know, their other parent, what did we do to make our child feel honestly abandoned, you know, or not like securely attached or have the confidence in themselves? You know, we don't realize like how much our own self-confidence and our own self-worth is what teaches that child to have that self-confidence and self-worth.
We carry a lot of the wounds into our parenting style, right? And so if we haven't healed those wounds from our own lives and our own childhood, we pass those on to the next generation. And that is really the work that my wife and I really do today. Our main goal, honestly, in all of our healing process is to really not pass our trauma onto our kids because they don't deserve that. You know, they deserve better than that. And it's not fair, you know, for them to have to carry that because we didn't do the work necessary to kind of, you know, move the needle, if you will. And nudge it. Not saying we have to be perfect. We know we're not. You know, we're certainly not, but we really make a great effort to, you know, to do this work so that we can, you know, just have better kids kids are healed and growing and feel safe and comfortable and know how to share their feelings, know how to, you know, be strong, know how to be confident, all these other things that sometimes maybe we didn't get growing up. So that's our main goal. Honestly, that's our top motivation.
I love it. Like, okay, now I'm like super curious. What happened? What did you start? Because nothing just happened overnight, right? Like nothing is just like, oh my God, I woke up and I don't know how or why we got here. There had to have been like things happening in your relationship, in your marriage that led up to 2024, because you had said that it got so bad, your wife had to get a restraining order against you, not physical or anything like that, but like emotional protection in a way.
Yeah.
What led up to that? What did you see happening in your relationship? Because I'm sure a lot of my listeners are going like, what were the red flags that were happening for you or for her?
Yeah, it's easier to look back now and see some of those red flags and some of those things that, you know, we just kind of didn't understand how to work through properly and, you know, continue to repeat themselves. And and that's what happens if you don't really fix it. A lot of these fights, a lot of these disagreements, a lot of these arguments, if you will, they just repeat because nobody's being heard. Solutions aren't being met and found. And so you just continue to find yourself in these little struggles. Now, we didn't have any major struggles. We didn't have any that, you know, there was no infidelity. There was no addiction. There was no financial issues per se.
Okay.
We had a lot of differences in our thoughts and some of our lives. And certainly when my son was born, you know, in 2019, parenting is definitely a thing that will trigger a lot of your emotions. You'll see the different parenting styles and that will challenge you. And so really, I think for the most part, when my son was born, that became a definite challenge where a lot of our little fights began, you know, because of our difference in parenting styles.
First child together or?
Yeah. So I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter from her first marriage, but this was my first child. I was an old dad. I was 50 years old when my son was born.
Oh, okay.
And so my son is now 5 and a half. Greatest thing that ever happened to me, but certainly, you know, has changed my life and challenged me to be a better man. And honestly, one of the main reasons that I've actually been able to do this work and wanted to do this work and actually work through that, because again, I have a goal of not passing this trauma on to my son. And so that was revealed to me through the experience in 2024. You know, where my wife would go, we went from what I thought was a pretty good relationship to having this, we had a fight about my son actually one night, and she actually challenged me to see a therapist. And, you know, because again, all these little fights. So she finally said, you know, you should see a therapist. And I said, fair enough. You know what?
Why? What was the fight about? I want to know. What was the fight about?
It was just about, I don't even know. It was a parenting thing. It was about my son. My son was behaving a certain way. She was kind of frustrated. And so she just wanted to bring it to my attention. In the past, though, when she would bring that to me, I would always listen to defend myself. I was really never paying attention to hear her out and understand her, right? So the old me would always say, okay, I'm listening to defend myself, tell her why she's wrong, all this other stuff. Anyway, that fight led her to challenge me to see a therapist, which I said, fair enough, I'll do. But I also challenge you to see a therapist because in my mind, she was the one with all the issues, right? And in her mind, I was the one with all the issues. And so that's the first thing I learned is that, you know, we have to take ownership of our own issues. And typically speaking, we both have some issues. You know, nobody's perfect per se. And so we have to look at ourselves. How are we showing up in this relationship that could be causing some problems? And usually, again, it is both sides, but I have to take ownership of my side first. And so that's the first thing I learned is, you know, be willing to take a look at yourself and see where you're going wrong and see if you can make a difference. Through that, we started having, you know, a lot of emotional turmoil between us, because even though the therapy was kind of good for us, it was bringing up a lot of childhood trauma and a lot of the emotions that were coming out. Really kind of added fuel to the fire. We were already kind of in an emotional turmoil. The therapy actually seemed to almost make it worse in a sense, because
it
was bringing up so much. So after about 4 months of this chaos and this absolute emotional turmoil, we kind of hit a head where she would put a restraining order against me for emotional safety. We were just both emotionally exhausted. She finally had enough in that regard and put that restraining order against me, which really gave us the space necessary. At first, you know, I was like, this is over. Obviously, I'm done. I can't fix this. I didn't understand what was going on. And I'm giving you the shortened version, right? So, but you know, as you can imagine, there was a lot of chaos and craziness in that. But eventually I was like, okay, I can't fix this. I don't know what's going on between us. It's just unhealthy. It's not good anymore. My first inclination was to run back to Florida, which is where I'm from. I have a lot of friends and family there. But I had a friend who challenged me. He said, hey, listen, Bryce, you know, what are you thinking about? He says, you know, my father abandoned me. Your father abandoned you. He says, if you abandon your son, you know, he's going to deal with a lot of the same stuff we're dealing with as adults. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, you're right. I can't leave my son. I love my son too much. And at that point, I knew I was stuck. I had to figure this out. And it didn't matter if I slept on the street. I didn't care. I wanted to stay as close to my son as possible. And at that time, I really had nowhere to go. I had no idea where I was going to lay my head. I didn't know what I was going to do from day to day.
Couldn't go home because of the restraining order.
I couldn't go back to my house because of the restraining order. So I had no really place to live. So I was actually, I found a place online. I literally stayed with a stranger for the first week. I realized quickly that wasn't going to work out. You know, I was like, all right, you know, the place to lay my head, but that's not healthy long-term. So I got on the phone. I had to call a couple of friends. I didn't know a ton of people here in Massachusetts, but I have to call a friend named Bob. And Bob says, hey man, yeah, I got a great 2-bedroom apartment. Come on over and stay with me. I was like, really? He had a spare bedroom. I said, great. Turns out it's like a mile from my house. So I was real close to my house, even though I couldn't go home. At least I knew the neighborhood. I was in the area. And Bob was dealing with a divorce as well. And so we were able to really help each other through this situation and kind of be there for each other. Bob was really handling it in a really bad way. And I was kind of putting my head to the grind. I was already kind of focused on getting better and moving forward in my life. And so I think I was there for a reason to help Bob, you know, kind of see a different way. Kind of see a different way of maybe doing some things. And Bob helped me too, just being able to have a friend there to talk to and share some of my stresses and stuff. At the end of the day, we were able to help each other through that situation. So for the next four and a half months, it just was a crazy time. But I was fortunate enough to come across the Integrated Attachment Theory program about a month before I got thrown out of the house. And so Thais Gibson, you know, she was doing a podcast on the Mel Robbins show, and she was talking about attachment theory. And when I listened to this podcast, I was like fascinated. I was like, oh my God, there's answers. Like I saw my wife was over here. I was on this side. I saw it just seemed to make a lot of sense. And so I was already really interested in learning more about this program, even though, you know, it would ultimately fall apart with my wife.
Yeah.
I still decided I wanted to continue this work and continue to, you know, to learn this stuff because I was fascinated by the work. And I think ultimately it would prove to give me some really great tools and actually allow me to come back around and have a second chance to save the relationship with my wife, if you will. And now we kind of use a lot of those tools to keep having a great relationship today. So it's kind of worked out in a great way, but again, not a way that I think people want to go. It's a tough thing to do and having a restraining order and all this stuff. I don't recommend it for anybody. It's an awful situation, but I do believe that sometimes failure can be the very ingredient we need to kind of hit success. You know, it's when we hit rock bottom that we're willing to change. We're willing to do those things necessary to say, okay, I've had enough, right? It's when the doctor says, you don't work out, you're going to have a heart attack. That's when the guy goes, okay, I better do something, right? It's critical stage. And so unfortunately, we don't want to wait till we get there. So do our best to not get there. But if it does happen, sometimes we find ourselves at rock bottom. I just want you to know there is hope and things can change and things can turn around pretty quickly if you just do the work and you never know what can happen.
Yeah. I think we have a lot of listeners, you know, that are pretty at a very low rock bottom right now in their relationship. And, you know, that's one thing that people won't change some do. I can't say all, but most people won't change until that change and the pain and the thought of changing is less painful than what they're going through now. Like it's gotta be bad.
Yep.
And I don't mean to like go back and stuff, but I personally, not recently, but it was, you know, a little while ago, had to deal with getting a restraining order. Mm-hmm. And when you say that she got a restraining order against you, like, I know how hard it is sometimes to get one. And then they can, like, what's the word? Protest, reject, or, you know, the person that you're getting a restraining order against can, like, be like, no. And then you have to go to trial, and that costs money and lawyers, and there's a lot to it. So I'm curious, like, it's hard to get a restraining order. Like, what was, and I don't ask this to, like, pry or be like, tell me details. Yeah. I don't want details, but, like, what were you doing that was so bad that made her feel like, I need the law to step in to protect me and keep boundaries? And I think this is important. Again, I'm asking this. I think this is important because I think the listeners are either going to either be the person that you were. And they were like, I think someone can listen and go, oh my God, that's me. I'm doing that to my partner, or I have before. Or they're going to be the person going, holy shit, that's happening to me right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going crazy or continuously being like gaslit, you know? So I'm curious, like, what happened to push it at that point? I don't mean to like regress, but.
No, absolutely. I'm happy to share the story because I know that other people deal with this stuff, right? And my story is not unique. You know, my situation was mine, but I know so many people deal with this type of stuff and we don't understand. We get locked into this. What's happening? How do we fix this? How do we get through that? And sometimes we just don't know until we have a restraining order. And that's like a last type of resort, right? But sometimes, unfortunately, that's where it goes to. But yeah, I mean, so when things started to go south a little bit, my wife started to pull away. She needed a lot of space. She was looking for clarity, trying to figure her life out. It felt like she was going through a midlife crisis. That's kind of what I was like thinking.
You felt she was going through a midlife
crisis. Right. Yeah. She was seeing the therapist and everything was kind of coming out. I'm like, oh, she's going through like a midlife crisis thing. And the more she wanted space, the more it sparked my fear of abandonment. And so because of that wound that was coming up, my abandonment was coming up. Now I tried to save the relationship. I tried to save my family. I was trying to keep it all together, you know, and I meant well, right? In my heart, like, of course, keeping my family together, that's like important, right? But I was so desperate to keep it together that it was now affecting her ability to kind of get some clarity, get some space that she needed. I couldn't give her that space as much. And so that's where this emotional clash really kept happening. So if looking back, had I known what was going on and I was able to catch my breath more, I would have been able to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, take that space, you know, go ahead. I need to take that time.
That doesn't mean we're ending.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. I knew that consciously. Okay. So consciously, I'm a confident guy, right? I'm thinking I'm confident. I know who I am. I'm like, you know, but subconsciously my wounds were playing out at this point, because I always say we're always confident until the shit hits the fan, right? Everybody's confident until things really start going south.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what's going on? So that's really what started to play out. It was so confusing. It was very emotional. And it just started to spiral out of control. And it just got to that point where we couldn't figure this out. And things happened that she thought I did or said that didn't really happen and that I thought or said or did. We would learn that later. But, you know, leading up to that, as the communication really started to break down, she started thinking that I was doing certain things that I really wasn't. And that really made it even worse. And then so when she went in there for the restraining order, my lawyer and I, we just decided, you know, let's give it the restraining. We didn't even fight it, you know. And so we just say, hey, let's just move on.
Yeah.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your cachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's kachava, kachava.com, and use code SHAKE.
It's probably like the healthiest thing at that point.
Yeah, I was just trying to look. I was just willing to let it go. I was like, okay, let's let this go. I don't want to fight this. I just want to fight for my life. I want to fight to move forward and get past this stuff. And so we kind of gave it the, you know, let's go ahead and let her have it. We didn't fight it. So they put that on pretty easily. So
how long was it for?
So when they put it on here in Massachusetts, it's for a year and then they can renew that. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So initially it's like an 11-day it's an 11-day one. If you go to court and you want to extend it, then you can go to court, which is what she did. And when she did that, I said, well, let's just give it to her. You know, let's just forget it. Let's move on and let's give her that and move forward. So that's what we did. And that was probably a great move too. And that just allowed me to kind of, again, I really started to do the work to let this go, to move on. I wasn't trying to save my relationship anymore. I was really just trying to get myself in a good position, get my mind on straight, get myself together and put myself in a good position in life again so that I could raise my son and be a decent father to him, you know, and that was my focus, you know. But that time away, actually, both of us were doing a lot of work. She would continue to see a childhood trauma specialist that really kind of helped her through a lot of her own childhood trauma wounds and a lot of the awareness that she got through our time away ultimately would prove to be valuable. You know, we learned so much through that time. You know, a lot of times, you know, people talk about no contact when you break up, like going no contact. Well, I'm not talking to my spouse for a little while. I think if it's done properly, that can be the greatest tool to help actually save a relationship, or certainly at least get some healing and get some distance so you can, you know, get yourself in a pretty good emotional spot. And then we get to that point where it's okay, even if that spouse does leave us. Like, that's what happened to me. I got to that point where I was okay. If it was never going to come back around, I finally was like, okay with that. I was happy for her. I said to myself, you know, I always used to say this before, is like, I'd rather her be happy with somebody else than to be miserable with me. And now I had to prove that. I had to say to myself, okay, if she really is happy with somebody else, can you truly be happy for her? And I finally was able to get to that point and say, yeah, you know what? I can be, you know, God bless her. I wish her well. I know I'm going to be okay. I know my life's going to be okay. And I just want the best for her. I hope she's happy so that we can be good parents to my son. And as fate would have it, she loved me. She wasn't looking to, you know, move on. She never wanted to put the restraining order against me. She got a lot of clarity through that time apart, where she realized that a lot of the things she thought was wrong with me was her own issues, right? And so I became her mirror. She would tell me, like, you were my mirror. Everything I thought was wrong with you was actually my own stuff. And vice versa, a lot of the same things where I thought, you know, were her issues were my issues. And so I think that's something that we need to look at it when you're struggling in those relationships. Is it you? You know, is it possible that it's you? Because the chances are, again, I do feel like it's usually both parties. There's usually, you know, both parties are showing up incorrectly. And so how do we fix that? But yeah, take ownership of yourself. And then, you know, we can't force our partners to do the work, but if we do the work ourselves, anything can happen. So
today's episode is brought to you by Simply Green Gummies. That's S-I-M-P-L-I Greens. And my family and I have been using them for months now, and we love the results. It's ridiculously easy, and my kids actually take them without a fight. And I can toss mine in my bag and go, no blender, no mess, just chew and done. Inside each gummy, real nutrition from 14 green veggies like spinach, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, plus superfoods, spirulina, and chlorella. They're 100% plant derivative, gluten-free, organic, and made without the cheap fillers or synthetic junk that your body struggles to use. What makes Simply Greens different from other green supplements? Their formula combines greens plus superfoods, plus essential vitamins, herbs like B12, D3, zinc, echinacea, all in one gummy. And because it's a gummy, you get better absorption and consistency. No chalky powders or mixing. No hassle. And they focus on clean, quality, eco-friendly ingredients, so you're fueling your body, not fighting it. Why gummies? Because consistency is greater than perfection. Gummies are easier, more enjoyable, and they help you stick with it. When I feel good, I show up for my workouts and my family and my life. Since we started, I've noticed steadier energy, less brain fog, and I just feel more grounded, and my kids are getting those same daily nutrients without me nagging them. And because you're a listener of the Bomb Life podcast, you get a deal, a really good deal too. Use the code Bomb Life, all one word, at checkout and save 25% off. Plus, if you spend $35, you get free shipping. If eating enough greens or dealing with powders and shakes has felt overwhelming, this is your answer. Make nutrition effortless with Simply Greens. Your body and your schedule will thank you. Back to the show. Talking about that time and away that you got with the restraining order, like giving that space, I don't think people realize how important and okay it is. It's okay to say, I need a minute. I need space. Not, I'm on a breakup like Rachel and Ross. Like, we were on a break. Not that, but space and just time to think and have clarity. And, you know, hopefully you can do it without a restraining order.
Yeah.
But it gives you that time to just be like, okay, what are my thoughts? How do I feel about this? What am I okay with? What am I not okay with? Because sometimes our partner, if they're just constantly pouring into us and we're around their energy, we can't get clarity. We can't get that clarity at all, you know? And you had said something important too about like, you were okay if she left, if you weren't together, you got to a point where you're okay. And if, you know, you could be happy for her to be happy with someone else, you know, and that really is important, because I think we need to realize that our self-love and our self-worth has to come from us first, not because we're with someone.
Sure.
You know, and yes, would your heart break and be hurt if you weren't with your person? Sure. But like, ultimately, would you be okay and be able to work through that pain? And there's so many people that are like, no, they have lost themselves in the relationship. And Brian, that answer is no, like they would not be okay. And there is a point in my life where like, I wasn't okay being alone. Like I would not have been okay at all. And I'd be miserable. And I'm okay now where I'm like in a relationship, out of a relationship, my life is still going to go on. And will I have feelings and emotions around it? For sure. But like, I'm still going to be okay with who I am. And holy God, did that take work?
Yeah. And that's, it takes a lot of work. But wait, see, you just nailed it though, because it's those wounds that are subconsciously driving us into that. We have to have this relationship because of that wound. Like for me, it was that fear of abandonment, fear of being alone for the rest of my life, fear of being unloved, you know, fear of not being good enough.
Yeah.
Feeling unsafe. All these little subconscious wounds are now coming to the front. And now your anxiety is through the roof. And until you really get a hold of that and, you know, retrain that a little bit and accept and figure that out and be able to kind of get your subconscious brain working in an optimal way so that you're not having those subconscious, you know, wounds play out. That makes a huge difference because what I love Thais Gibson, and this hit me hard. She said that 95 to 97% of our decisions in life are made by the subconscious and that the conscious cannot outwill or overcome the subconscious. So just because consciously I say one thing, the subconscious is always going to try to get its needs met regardless of what I'm consciously trying to think of. And when I think of this in terms of exercise, let's just say I put my mind to it and I say, I want to work out. I want to get in great shape, you know, and I've got motivated. And then, you know, a week later, my subconscious is telling me, you just want some comfort. You know what you really need? You need some connection with your friends. So now on Thursday, instead of hitting the gym with my trainer, I'm at the bar having a nice beer with a buddy or two, and we're having a good time because my subconscious is putting me there. So it seems like we're, you know, a lot of times we talk about sabotage, self-sabotage, but the truth is we're not really sabotaging. It's that subconscious thoughts that are actually driving that train for us to do something differently than we consciously want to do. And I felt that through that entire experience with my wife. If you'd have told me that before, I'd have said, I don't know about that, but I experienced it at a level that was like, wow, I could not stop the train wreck once the emotions were really playing out. No matter how much consciously I put my mind to something, didn't matter. The train wreck was going to happen. And that's where that went to. So if we're finding ourselves struggling in these things and we're, you know, sometimes we're not following through consciously, you know, what we consciously want to do. Sometimes we're seeing the sabotage, if you will.
Yeah.
Then we have to ask ourselves, what is really going on subconsciously that's causing me to kind of get there and what's going on there, you know?
I've heard it called or worded actually by my therapist before, like little me and adult me. So subconsciously and consciously, and she's like, the adult you knows, you knows that you are a confident, strong, independent woman, like who can do it and got it. The little me gets worried and scared and like, am I good enough? You know, are they going to love me? Are they going to accept me? Like, I don't think I can do this alone and I doubt everything. And that's when, you know, I have to spend a lot of time with younger me and be like, no, it's good. I got you. I'm good enough to take over. So tell me a little bit about integrated attachment theory.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, so absolutely. So again, it's a great video. If you ever want to, you know, YouTube Thais Gibson, Thais Gibson, and the Mel Robbins podcast.
Okay.
She does about an hour and 15 minutes. She talks about attachment theory. And that's going to give you the four different attachment styles that are out there. That really was a game changer and an eye opener for me. The four attachment styles are, number one, you have a secure attachment style. Those are people that are emotionally balanced, really good communicators. They really kind of have it down as far as relationships go. That's the one we all aspire to be at, right? But unfortunately, we typically find ourselves in one of the other three unhealthy versions. Number one, you have like an anxious, preoccupied. That's that person who has to be in a relationship. Relationship is super important. You have a lot of connection, a lot of, you know, communication in a relationship. They're texting 10 times a day, maybe.
Oh, I'm totally a healing, anxious attachment style.
Yeah. So, but a lot, you can see yourself in that. You're like, oh, wait a second. That is me. Like, I do find myself acting this way, right? And Again, a lot of fear of abandonment, a lot of fear of being alone, that type of stuff. So very clingy. A lot of times can be codependent, you know, gets to that point where it's just unhealthy. On the flip side of that, you have like a dismissive avoidant. Dismissive avoidants typically have a hard time connecting to their emotions at all. And if they do, they isolate a lot because they just grew up that way. They learned how to kind of deal with their emotions on their own. Emotions are bad, but when you do have emotions, you deal with them on yourself. And so they really don't know how to share with their partner, you know, what they're going through a lot of times. There's just communication is pretty poor. They love a lot of space. And that's the thing. If I'm somebody who's anxious and I want connection, but I'm with somebody who's really needing some space at that time, like my wife was, I was leaning anxious, she was leaning dismissive. And that's why we got into this real, you know, tough situation.
And they attract those two attachment styles. You find people attract each other.
Because we're looking
it's
at the
crazy.
We're looking at the side of us that we don't have for ourselves. And so we're connecting to that person who isn't that part of us, if you will. And that's why we got to do the healing, because we don't want that per se. We want to be healed first so that we can come together in a healthier way. But a lot of times they do find each other, right? They do find the opposites in that regard. In between those two, the last one is what's called a fearful avoidant. Fearful avoidance will swing between both sides. They will be very anxious at times, very connected, very loving in that relationship, feeling really good. And then sometimes maybe the following week, out of the blue, they're just causing problems. Or, you know, they're having, you know, a lot of trust issues, maybe even breaking up with the person out of the blue. And just it becomes this chaos situation. So they swing between sometimes anxious, sometimes dismissive. And it just becomes very challenging in that regard. All three styles are just learned behavior, subconscious learned behavior, mostly through childhood. Sometimes we do pick up some of these wounds in adult life, but a lot of times they are just their experience through our childhood. And we learn these things and these patterns we think are just normal behaviors, normal thoughts, but they're not. And they're not healthy and they're not good. And that's where we have to get a hold of those, fix those a little bit, and then get us to that, you know, secure side. And that's where the integrated attachment theory program comes in.
Okay.
Tyese Gibson not only talks about the attachment theory. So it's one thing to know our attachment style, but then how do we fix it? And so that's what I love about her work. She created a 6-pillar program to move us from the unhealthy attachment styles to the secure, healthy attachment style. And those 6 pillars are, number one, your core wounds. Those are those subconscious thoughts and stuff that we're having, like, again, fear of abandonment, lack of trust, fear of, you know, being unsafe, all those types of things.
Core meaning like they are core in you, started early on in childhood.
Yeah. And again, a lot of times they're subconscious. So we don't think we're, you know, we don't think we're in, yeah,
we right.
don't think we're, you know, we think we're fine, right? We think, oh, I'm fine, I'm secure. But again, when things really kind of play out, we realize, oh, subconsciously, I'm not secure. I'm not as secure as I thought I was. I do have some of these wounds. So it's, number one, it's your core wounds. We have to fix those. Number two, it's your needs. We have to know what our real needs are. What am I, you know, what fulfills me? Because, you know, if I'm doing things that are not fulfilling my true needs, I feel unfulfilled. I feel unhappy. And then once I know what those needs are, how do I fill those needs on my own?
Yes.
Is it filled?
Not my partner.
Correct. So I'm filling those on my own. I feel pretty darn good on my own. And now I'm not relying on my partner to fill those needs. I'm not outsourcing my needs to somebody else, because that becomes a problem. Number three is going to be our emotions. Okay. Emotions. There's no bad emotion per se. If I'm angry, I just have to ask myself, what am I angry about? Is it justified? Or is it maybe over the top, right? If I'm angry because somebody just wrecked my car, you know, like, okay, that might be a normal anger. But if I'm angry because my wife didn't pick the cup off the table and put it in the sink, and it's really triggering me to that point where I'm just so mad about it, it might be something else that's going on.
Yeah, what are you really mad about?
Correct. What are you really mad about? And so a lot of times something like that may come back to, I feel disrespected. Maybe I feel unloved. Maybe I'm feeling like they don't listen to me. They don't care about me. And that's why they didn't pick the cup up, right? So it's not about the cup. The cup doesn't mean anything. It's the story that we're telling. So, and the emotions are what trigger us to kind of, you know, act out. And once those emotions get to play out, that's causes our behaviors. So those are the first three. After that, we really want to look at boundaries. How do we set our boundaries? How do we kind of set healthy, good boundaries? And then how do we, you know, make sure that people adhere to them a little bit? We have to be, you know, able to kind of convey those and let people know what they are, and then see who crosses them. And if somebody crosses them, how do I make sure that they know, hey, I don't appreciate that. This is, you know, this is something that's important to me. So we have to figure those out, our boundaries. Number five is huge. It's our communication. How do we actually communicate in a way that our partner can hear us and actually begin to move the needle? Like I said before, you know, in the past, my wife and I would talk and I was listening to always defend, because my core wound of not being good enough, feeling like you're going to leave me or abandon me. So I can't accept that maybe I did something actually wrong, or maybe I made a mistake, right? So I can't do that. I can't allow that to happen. So I'm going to defend myself all the time. Now we don't do that. Now we do something where, you know, I don't jump in over her, right? If she's talking, I give her 5 or 10 minutes and I'm now listening to understand. I really want to know What's on her heart? What's on her mind? What is she trying to convey to me? And then I get 5 or 10 minutes to talk and she listens to me so that she's really trying to hear my side, understand me. And now we come together and we find a solution that we can both kind of move the needle a little bit. And it is a game changer in how you're going to actually, you know, begin to connect and feel heard and feel understood and feel like you're a team now, you know, really trying to move forward and fix the situations because they will arise. You're going to have these things happen in relationships. Last but not least is our behaviors. Number six, you know, how do I change the behaviors that I'm doing and begin to really kind of, you know, live my life in a way that's, you know, more beneficial, healthier behavior patterns. You know, if I find myself triggered, you know, emotionally, I may now, instead of losing, you know, flying off the handle, maybe I take an hour and I just walk around the block. Sometimes I do that. I put my sneakers on. I say, you know what, I'll be back. And I just go and I walk around the block until I find myself emotionally calm again. Mm-hmm. Then I can walk back in the house and now I can have a good conversation where I'm not, you know, flying off the handle or, you know, having these really triggered, you know, conversations that lead us to nowhere. So those six pillars, truthfully for me, began to be like, wow, I feel like if I can do all these six, even if I can just help a little bit here, move a little bit the needle there, you know, each one was kind of like a different thing. Sometimes I'm doing better on this and then I need to work on that, right? Or I need to do better here. I need to do better on that. But little by little, I can, you know, focus on those six pillars and begin to start to see like, oh, I'm getting a little bit better at this. I'm learning how to do that now. And now I have tools that I never had before. You know, before it was just kind of floating and hoping that this was the right way to do it. But again, it wasn't because of my own patterns. Now I have different ways of actually doing things that actually can actually work. And now it's like my wife and I can have a really great relationship, which we do today, where we both feel heard. We both know how to deal with these situations. We're not getting emotionally triggered like we used to. Mm-hmm. If we do have a situation arise, we know how to communicate it. We know how to kind of work through it. And it's a game changer. I tell you, it's a night and day experience on this side of it. I never thought a relationship could actually be this good and how to do it this good. Always in the past, I was just floating through and trying to figure it out and doing the best I could. But it always ended in disaster because of my own thoughts and my own unhealthy patterns.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's so important too to point out that you guys are doing this work together at the same time. And unfortunately, I see it a lot where like it can be, go both ways, but I see like the woman reading the books, going to therapy, doing the help, trying to like, you know, create change, get the husband. Again, it can go both ways. It could be like the husband doing the work and stuff, but I see it more often just because I work with more women and he's not. And it's so frustrating when, you know, as a coach and I'm watching this and I'm helping. And they're not, and they're still very much listening to defend. And it's hard. And I have been that person in that position where I was doing the work, I was really trying, and my partner wasn't. And so I'd be listening to understand when I would like tell them what was wrong and they were listening to defend. Then I'd be like, okay, how did I just make them feel? How could I make this better? And since I'm so anxious, I was so anxious attachment style, I would just take it all on and be like, well, this must be my fault. And if I don't fix this, then they're going to leave me. And like, it was really hard because I was trying to do all this healing and save everything. And I just carried that whole relationship a couple of times of just emotionally on my back. And they weren't doing the work. So I think it's really important and key that you guys are both doing the work, but try as best you can that both you are doing this and doing the work and going on this journey.
So I had it put to me this way once, and I love this. Somebody said to me, you know, two is better than one. One is better than none.
True.
Okay. And so if your spouse isn't going to come with you, okay, you can't force them to.
No.
The only thing you can do is take ownership of your behaviors, your life, your actions. And I promise you, if you do the work and you truly understand this, and you start to understand your partner and how they start actually, a lot of the things that they may be thinking and some of their wounds, and all of a sudden you start to realize, okay, this is how my partner may be feeling and going through when I approach him in a certain way. Maybe that the way I'm approaching is just not working out because my approach is wrong. And so once we learn how to do these things a lot differently and begin to understand our side as well as their side, I don't care if it's both or not. Yes, both is always the best, but even if it's just you yourself, you can make incredible changes in that relationship and see the dynamics of that relationship change tremendously. Now, if you have somebody, if you're growing so far past them and they absolutely are not coming with you, sometimes that does get to a really difficult point. And sometimes that relationship may end. And sometimes that's what that other person may need before they finally wake up and go, oh my God, I'm losing this amazing person because I'm not willing to do any work. And sometimes that's a wake up call for them. Now, I hope that that's a long time away. So again, I think we have to show up first. We have to get to a point where we know we're showing up pretty healthily. We know we've got a pretty good feel on this. And then if our partner is just that unhealthy and unwilling to change, and that's the thing, if they're not really willing to do some work and move a little. Now, if they are, then sometimes we can give them some grace and we can give them, you know, some see, we see the needle moving a little bit, we have to decide how long we're willing to kind of handle that and work with that. But you know, if you've been in a long-term relationship, you're going to give them a little bit longer, maybe compared to say, if you've only been together for maybe a year, you know, maybe you give that person a month or two. And then, you know, if they're really not making changes, you move on. But if you've been together for a long time, you have a wife, a kids, you know, then you may want to give that other person a little bit more time, a little bit more grace to see if they actually are willing to come along with you. And as long as they are, you know, it's great. But yeah, two is better than one. One is better than none.
Yeah, you got it. You got to do you. I see this like so much in the fitness space too. Like I have these women that like want to create change and do things, and men too. I'm male clients, and sure, their partner is not on the same level with their health and fitness journey, and they don't want to be. Like a lot of times, the guy's like, "You can do what you want. I'm not giving up my beer and pizza. Like you do you," and that's hard. You know, but I'm encouraging them, like, you got to at least take care of yourself. They will come along later. A lot of the time, they end up getting on board because men don't like to be left behind. No one likes to be left behind, but men really don't like to be left behind.
I think what also happens is they want to see that you mean business, right?
Yes.
And so a lot of times,
yes,
you get started and then 2 months later, you give up on it again. So now they're like, oh, yep, see, so why would I even get started? Because I knew you were coming back to drinking beer and hanging out, you know, eating wings with me, right? So, but if now all of a sudden, a year into this.
So true.
A year into this, they're like, oh my God, you are really into this. You are looking good. I see the differences. Yeah. Your energy is great. Your attitude is great. All of a sudden, that may inspire your spouse to go, okay, you're right. I need to make this change with you. But I think they're really testing your seriousness before they actually are willing to make that change.
Well, how many times have you done Weight Watchers? You're going to order this thing off TV or, you know. Yeah, I always challenge them too. I'm like, well, how many times have you started and stopped before?
Yep.
What behavior have you shown them? You know, because they're just going to go off of your past behavior. That's what they're going to trust is who you've been before in the past. So, Brian, how long now have you guys been together, like on this good path and healing?
Yeah. It's been a little over a year. So it was mid-October last year when the restraining order came off. And literally from day one, once we were able to kind of get that off, yeah, we knew right away that the relationship was different. But it took a little time to make sure, you know, like you just don't know, right? But we continued to see that, you know, it was just different. And the way we do things today, we meet each other's needs differently. We listen to each other differently. And we have a connection today that, man, I can't even believe how good we're doing. We're excited. We're a team now in a way that we never were before. And, you know, she knows how to meet my needs and work with me sometimes. Like one of the things she'll do for me that I really love is like before we even, you know, get out of bed in the morning, you know, we'll spend 20 minutes just cuddling, you know, just sitting, laying in bed and just connecting for 20 minutes. It's an amazing way to start the day. Whereas in the past, we might not have done that, right? We just spring up and get to work. But she knows how much that means for me when we start our day like that. It's a great way to start. And so she does that for me because she knows how important it is. Now, I also know to give her some space. I also try not to be overly helpful, which is part of mine. Sometimes I want to help so much, I become intrusive. So it's hard for me to sometimes just say, you know what? I know she's got it. She's a big girl. I'm going to let her do it on her own without, you know, feeling like I have to help her every time and give her that space. And if she needs space to process something emotionally, I also know to give her space. If we do have a little disagreement, which we've had over the last year,
of course,
you know, I don't panic. And I just say, you know, it's okay. We're going to talk about this in a day or two and we'll be all right. And we do. And we just work through it at that point. And when I don't panic and I let it go, everything kind of works out. When we do these things differently and we do them in a better way, it's amazing how, you know, how these relationships can work. And but you need those tools. And until you understand those things, a lot of times, again, we just get stuck in ways that we think are normal. We think this is the way to do it, but it's really not. And so I'm just glad I learned some new tools now that my wife and I have new tools that we're able to kind of apply in our relationship.
Yeah, this has been great, Brian. Where can people find you, follow you, work with you? I know you do like free consultations and stuff.
Yeah.
To help people get started. Tell us all about it. We'll put it.
Yeah, I'm on a mission, Melissa, just to help as many people, save as many relationships as possible. You know, I always say there's nothing worse in life than losing the person you love simply because you don't have the tools necessary to keep them. Right. And so it's heartbreaking. It's gut wrenching. I don't want to see anybody go through what I went through and my wife went through last year. I hope we can head this off the past. If you want some help and you want to start learning this stuff, go to my website, myrelationshipfail.com.
Okay.
And you can take the attachment quiz right there. It's free. You can learn your attachment style. And then you can also join the personal development school through my website as well. That is Thais Gibson School. And in there is a treasure trove of information on attachment theory, different, you know, styles of communication. There's a treasure trove of videos and workbooks that you can go through that will begin to move the needle. I will also give you a free consultation when you do that. I'll give you a free full hour. Even if you don't, I'll give you a free half hour. But if you do that, I'll give you a full hour. And we'll talk about your situation. I want to hear what's going on with you. And I want to see what we can do to help put you in the right direction so you can begin to, you know, really have a great relationship and begin to move the needle in that. Yeah, it's just, it's an incredible, incredible opportunity. If you need therapy, go for it. If you need, you know, I feel like this is great to work in conjunction with therapy. Mm-hmm. If you're a person of faith, follow that as well. Like, bring it all together and make it, you know, get the healing that you need to so that you can start to have this. Last thing I always love to say is if you are in a really bad spot right now and you're feeling like hopeless and you're feeling like it's over, this relationship is never going to come around again, all this other stuff, I want to tell you right now that anything can happen. Yeah. I promise you, I was done. I had a restraining order. There was no hope in this relationship. It was over. I wasn't trying to fight to get my spouse back. I was just trying to move on with my life. But if you do the work and if you truly, really let things go and you kind of just let things fall, but you do some work with this, anything can turn around and all of a sudden you can find yourself having another opportunity with the person you love. And now you'll have some new tools and now you'll be able to make it work again. So just do the work and let things kind of happen and you'll be amazed at what can happen. But don't give up hope, I promise you, because anything can happen. I don't care how bad it looks.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, this was great to have you on, Brian. What another, like, just a great awakening conversation around relationships and healing and self-love and trauma and childhood healing, all of it. So we can't thank you enough for being on the show. And everyone, go to the show notes. We'll put all the links there, especially if you're listening to this and you're driving. Like, don't worry, we'll put everything in the show.
Hey, listen, I got to say one thing, last thing, honestly. I never realized how much my body was holding on to stress,
yes.
All the unhealthy things it was experiencing in my body because I wasn't healed emotionally. So my body today feels so much better than what I was before. So now, like, not only do you heal emotionally, mentally, you're healing physically and you're able to show up every day. Your body gets healed. Your body feels better. Stress is a killer. And until we really are able to let that stress go, man, it holds on to it and it can really cause some problems. So, you know, you got to get this work and you'll be amazed at like how you feel better. Yes. Emotionally, you feel better, like in every way, your whole life will change.
Every way. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, Brian, it's been a pleasure. I hope we get to work again soon. Everyone check out the show notes and stay safe, stay healthy until next time.
The Bomb Life podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content shared here is not intended as medical, legal, or professional advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before making any health, fitness, financial, or legal decisions. The opinions shared on this podcast are personal experiences and insight. So if you need expert guidance, go find the right professional for you. Thanks for listening.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.